Well, the budget passed and the schools in place, or are they? That's the big question right now. Here to discuss is Robert Schneider. Bob, of course, does a great job, president of New York State School Boards Association, as he is with us every year when it comes to this stuff. And just weeks away from a school board vote and everything else, a lot in play there. Bob gives us a couple here on a Tuesday. Great having you as always, Mr. Schneider. The numbers are there. In a lot of cases, I think it's good. A lot of them, not so good. Give me an assessment overall of how the numbers play out regarding education, my friend. Go ahead.
Well, Jay, good morning. It's good to be with you. Thanks for having us on. Yeah, you know, I think, as is the case a lot of times with budgets, there's some good to look at. There's some not so good, you know, depending on your perspective. I think at the end of the day, you know, we were pleased that we were able to push back, you know, with legislative partners and fellow advocates. We were able to push back against, I think, you know, the worst aspects of the proposal. You know, still some unmet needs here or there. You know, we have 300 districts statewide, a little less than half, that have essentially flat year-over-year aid. You know, so if you're a glass-half-full person, you know, you're pleased with the fact that we're able to restore the governor's proposed cuts. If you're a glass-half-empty person, you know, you recognize that, you know, there's still going to be a number of districts statewide that are certainly not in an easy or overly comfortable budget position with these final aid numbers.
No question. And when you look at everything involved as far as passing of the bills, Bob, you're looking at school aid increase by a little over a billion, $1.3 billion to be exact. That would include in the all-important foundation aid category some, what, $934 million, full funding of expense-based aids, but also no district will receive less, keyword here, less foundation aid in 24-25 than received during the current school year. That's been a long-standing practice, right?
Yeah, that's, you know, and that was kind of the center of a lot of controversy over the past few months, you know, kind of the principle that, you know, a district may not get an increase, may not get as much as an increase of an increase as they were hoping for. But at a minimum, we would prevent cuts year over year. And that's because of the simple reality that, you know, every year, all things being equal, every year, you know, with inflation, with increased needs and responsibilities upon districts, costs increase. And that's kind of the reality of everyday life. And, you know, there are a lot of components and ins and outs and factors that make up school aid each year for districts. But in order to, you know, properly serve, you know, and protect the interests of our schools, our BOCES, the students that we all serve, we want to make sure that, you know, districts aren't facing a cut each year. You know, as I said, the governor proposed exactly that in January, cutting the main operating aid for 337 districts, literally half the districts in the state. So we are successful in working with our partners to fully fill those cuts. So as you said, no district is seeing a cut in foundation aid, which is their kind of their main operating aid that they receive from the state. You know, so that's the glass half full part of the equation. The challenging part, like I said, is, you know, those districts, what we call is on safe harmless or hold harmless, or, you know, being kind of held harmless from cuts. Those districts have seen modest increases in each of the past few years, you know, 2 or 3%. So 0% is better than a negative number, but, you know, is more challenging than, you know, what they've seen over the past few years. You know, we still have peskier than historically average inflation, a tax cap that limits property tax growth in general to about 2%. And then so if your main state aid category is at zero, you know, it forces some difficult decisions for a lot of districts. Not as bad as a cut, certainly. You know, but it won't be rosy for everyone.
No, it will not. Not rosy for me this morning by calling you Bob Schneider. My goodness, it's Brian Fessler, J Shame on
that's
me.
Okay. Listen, you know, at the Brian's end of the day, nice we're enough. Here to serve schools and students. So you can call
listen,
me whatever you want.
You're nice enough not to correct me for being a horse's patoot this morning for doing that. But the fact is I am, because it's Brian Fessler, who happens to be the great government relations director over there. Over
yeah, I thought
at
you were
the NYS.
To give me a promotion. I was going to take it.
It is all good, Mr. Fessler. So, in essence, I guess you're right. And I guess the way we started off, it's good, it's bad. But I still can't get over the fact regarding here on the island, Brian. You know, you have so many districts now, and it's about the tax cap and the piercing of it. You know, you have West Babylon, who proposed a budget that will pierce the cap by nearly 5%. You had Amityville, which really kind of kicked it off for us a couple of months ago. They've already made a lot of staff cuts, dozens. Sachem, you know, presenting some options, maybe balance their budget, maybe some cuts involved there, who knows? I mean, this goes on and on and on. We know a lot of people, even some family members who are teachers that have jobs no more that, you know, basically it was stated, you know, listen, you're going to be called upon once everything is straightened out. Who knows if that will happen? But the fact of the matter is, that is a tricky road now operating with these schools.
Yeah, and, you know, certainly, you know, individual circumstances and cases vary throughout the state, you know, and throughout the island. You know, but in the examples that you noted, you know, a lot of times, unfortunately, it's simple math. You know, if inflation is 3.5%, 4%, you know, like it's been for the past number of months, and aid is flat or a negligible increase, you know, the other vehicle or the other, you know, financial avenue districts have is property taxes. And, you know, certainly no one likes or enjoys, you know, asking voters and taxpayers to consider overriding their property tax cap. You know, but at the end of the day, some districts decide, you know, to put the issue before the voters in that way. And if the voters say no, then, you know, you go back to the drawing board and make some of those difficult decisions in terms of staffing and programming. And if the voters say yes, then, you know, then all's good. And, you know, that indicates that the district is interested in, you know, supporting, or voters are interested in supporting, you know, the district at those levels. And, you know, we believe strongly in local control. You know, I know folks are a fan of the tax cap. Some folks are not. You know, at the end of the day, we want to make sure school officials and school boards and voters have as much say and control over what goes on, especially from a budget standpoint for districts as possible. So, you know, that's where these state aid numbers, we always want these numbers to be higher because the best property tax relief is additional state aid. And, you know, that allows districts to best serve their students and, you know, balance the needs and resources and capabilities of the property taxpayers in the district. So, yeah, you know, I think come next week or next month in a few weeks when we see budget votes, you know, some will be an easier budget than others. And at the end of the day, you know, my job and our job on behalf of school boards and school districts is to make sure there's a state budget that removes as many of those difficult choices as possible in the best interests of our students and taxpayers and school district staff.
And I'll say this, Brian, one last point on my end, is my concern, you know, are the staff shortages involved. And when I think of that, I think about it, addressing the mental health needs of students, which is prior one for me. And we've stated this all along in the program. The staff has to be in play here. You have to have enough personnel to meet the needs of students, depending on the size and everything else of the district. But my concern is that, because we know those ever-growing problems exist and have existed for quite some time. We need to meet those challenges. I just don't know going forward if they'll be met.
Yeah, you know, in this budget that was approved a few days ago, you know, as proposed by the governor, there are a few additional targeted supports, you know, around school-based health centers and student mental health supports that we're supportive of. You know, I think to your point, you know, certainly the need is so great that it would take a Herculean effort, I think, to, you know, put forward something that can, you know, have a significant impact. And until or unless we get to that point, you know, it's a lot of it, unfortunately, is a, piecemeal, step-by-step approach. There was a provision included in the state budget that allows school districts to continue to hire recent retirees without a negative impact on their pension. For the classroom, bus drivers, mental health professionals in schools, that has been a helpful tool. Admittedly, a stopgap and a short-term tool, but a helpful tool in the immediate sense to support students. We talk about the variety of programs and services and expectations from school districts. And that's why, we had a lot of concern when the governor kind of solely focused on enrollment in terms of her school aid proposal. Enrollment is certainly important. This is a student-based industry, if you will. But there are a variety of aspects and needs that are not captured if you're just looking at, doing a headcount of students in a school building or a classroom. And the biggest one of that, I think, over the past 5 or 10 years is, student and, frankly, staff mental health challenges, that there's an expectation and certainly an interest in making sure our students and our staff are supported and in a position to best able to learn and to best able to teach. And so, that's something that can't be captured with just a simple headcount. And that's why we, kind of talk about all of these stories and all of these needs and, all of these factors, to stress exactly why, we need a healthy and equitable and an adequate state aid package each year to support our schools.
No doubt. And that's where inflation always comes into play, folks, because, lawmakers lowered the adjustment used for state aid. I think the current law is 4.1, if I'm not mistaken, 4.1%. Kathy Hogan proposed 2.4. Now it'll be 2.8. So yeah. Even though you have the improvement as far as the overall inflation factor over the governor's proposal, thus is the case where you have a number of districts now considering making layoffs that they haven't already in order to balance. And that's what it is. And that's because half of the districts in the state, getting this flat foundation aid funding, 2.8% inflation factor, doesn't come close to meeting, the ever-expanding demands that schools face now. So that's the reason why a lot of people ask that question. Why? Why? Well, that's the reason. You factor in this inflation factor here. It's far lower than what it was, but based on the circumstances, that's where we are right now. All in all, that is the case. Should be interesting, I would think, here, as we embark on the third Tuesday of next month with votes and everything else with these budgets. That's going to be a very interesting Tuesday night, Robert. Here I go again, Mr. Fessler. That's going to be an interesting one come May.
Yeah, I think, there's with 700 school districts statewide, there's always a variety of circumstances and stories and situations and outliers, frankly, good and bad. That's where we're pleased that I think we are able to avoid, I think, the worst of the executive budget proposal in a lot of ways. But as you said, flat operating aid for nearly half the districts in the state. With inflation at about 3.5-4% and, property tax cap and the expiration of federal stimulus dollars coming up in at the end of the summer, beginning of the fall, this will not be an easy process for school boards and for school leaders and by extension voters. But we're confident in, in the effort and the work of school district staff and school boards and ultimately the voters, to vote and to serve in the best interests of their students that are in the classes today, that will be there tomorrow and will be there for the next generation to come.
Well said, Brian Fessler. Ladies and gentlemen, remember that name, please. Mr. Fessler, of course, does a wonderful job as far as governmental relations director. For the New York State School Board Association. Always a welcome addition. Brian, until next time, my friend, we'll keep an eye in May, and hopefully we'll have you on again.
Sounds great, Jay. Thank you so much.